Okay, so just to tie together what we started yesterday, we had, we were doing the nitty-gritties. We were going through all the details of all, practically every single letter that was in the words of Birchas Kohanim. And we were talking about the Baal HaTurim yesterday. So the Baal HaTurim, actually, he is called the Baal HaTurim because he is the author. His main work is the Arba Turim, the halachic responses that has four sections, four rows. A Torah is a row. And he lived from approximately 1269 to 1343. So he lived in the Middle Ages. His complete name was Yaakov ben Asher. And it tells us that he was, so that's the Rishonim period, like the earlier sages, not one of the more contemporary, obviously. It was, you know,
can I ask
good.
Where he lived?
Toledo.
Oh,
Cologne. Yes, he was Sparty. Yes, most of the Rishonim were, well, not most, but many of the Rishonim were Sparty. I think they say that his greatness was in his knowledge of the hidden meanings of the Torah. So maybe, Mr. Sidney, that answers your question, that he was able to delve into other parts that other people, you see, he has a different approach than other people. And I was thinking about your question also about, here he's like matching everything up to all these like nice scenarios, but there are other times where he does match it up to things that are
negative.
Yeah, so it's not only a positive. it's not only full of positive. There are negative things that different things match up to at other times as well. Okay, so let's, I think, tie up our loose ends of the pasuk over here, and then we could move on to the sitter portion of the tefillah part, and then we could go to the mitzvah halacha part. Okay, so basically, some things that we did not mention, I'll just run through them quickly, rather than looking at them inside, like, I feel like we're never going to make through our pile here if we do everything inside. So basically, we have the expression, the El Banav, speak to Aaron and to his children. So this, I think, answers somebody's question from the other day, what if the Kohen is not on such a high level in terms of his spirituality? So the commentaries tell us, afilu behedyot, even if he's a common, regular person and he's not so extraordinary in terms of his spiritual level, although that's not really for us to judge, like somebody's spiritual level, we can't really judge that. That's a private thing that's interpersonal between man and Hashem. But someone who maybe we think is not, you know. Then again, there's different ways that people earn their spirituality, right, and their greatness. It says, Ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael, so shall you bless b'nei Yisrael. This is how you should bless the Jewish people. So we had ko, this is how. And the Mefarshim say that there are other places where it talks about blessing the Jews. So when you compare how people were blessed in other times, that's how you should bless them now. So ko, you should bless them just as they had been blessed previously in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew language. And ko sivarchu, you should bless them standing up. Like when the Jews were divided up at the two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Evel, and they recited the blessings and the cursing, they were standing. So that's why we rise, and that's why the Kohanim are standing during Birkas Kohanim. Here's something that's very cute. Ko sivarchu is also, can be written with a vav. Like we had the word emar, malay, full with a vav and an o. So the word ko can also be written chav, vav, with an o and he. In Aramaic, kaveh, like it says in Sefer Daniel, kaveh is a window, a chalon, a window. So if we know how the Kohanim bless the people, they have to form their fingers into a certain shape, and their fingers become like windows, and the blessing come forth through the windows of their hands. And what else? Okay, so we had that. We had Emar, we said, was complete. There's Vavav. There were six blessings contained within the Berachas Kohanim, one for most of the words, or how the verses started out. The word Emar also has a gematria, and it's not just the Baal HaTurim that does gematria. There's a Rabbeinu Bachai that has a gematria, a Paneach Raza who has a gematria. So according to one, the gematria, the numerical value of the word Emar, has the same numerical value as the word zemer, which means to sing, like zmiro, singing the songs on Shabbos, to hint to us that when the Kohanim do Birchas Kohanim, they should sing it. It's said in a melody. As well, the gematria, the numerical value, is ramach, which is 248, and we are told that the body is made up of 248 parts, 248 limbs, and to tell us that the blessing that we are given through Birchas Kohanim becomes absorbed through all of our limbs. It becomes absorbed throughout our whole body. B'yishmerecha, Hashem should guard you. And some other things that we might not have mentioned, what should Hashem guard us from? From the Yetzirah, that mm-hmm. other people should not need to guard us, that we could rely fully on the protection of Hashem, that Hashem should guard our bris avos, our treaty and our merits that he gave to our forefathers, that we shouldn't have to be worried that if we receive good in our life, that we're using up our merits, that we will, that we have exhausted all of our privileges. Rather, no, that Hashem should bless us and Hashem should guard us, that we should always have those privileges. Also, that Hashem should guard us for the end of time, that when a person shouldn't feel that they are receiving all their benefits in this world and that they won't get any benefit or pleasure or reward in the next world, and also in Olam Haba, Hashem should guard us in the world to come, which is in our next level of existence. We have also Ya'er Hashem Panav Eilecha, Hashem should shine his face towards you. And those of us who were in the Chumash class last year, when we talked about Bilam, we talked about the man who came to curse the Jewish people and the donkey, and it says that Hashem opened up the eyes of Bilam, and he was able to perceive something spiritual that he wasn't able to perceive before. That's what it's referring to here also, that Hashem should open us, that we should be able to perceive spirituality, that we should be able to perceive things that are on a hidden level. We should also be able to recognize that Hashem's presence is with us, and that Hashem should light up and shine our eyes with the beauty of the Torah. V'chunecha, Hashem should find favor in us, that we should find favor in the eyes of others. Chain also has to do with knowledge, bina and haskel, chachma, different kinds of levels of knowledge. Hashem should also, matnas chinam, Hashem should give us something even without having to earn it or having to need it. I think that was also a theme of one of my classes. I don't think it was at Yarchai Kala, but we talked about Moshe when he was wanting to go into Eretz Israel, and he really wanted to go into Israel, and he was not relying on his on favors from God, but he wanted to rely on his own merits, and he's trying to show Hashem that he had merits to be able to do that, and that Hashem should also accept our tefillos and our prayers, especially at a time of crisis, which we talked about. And Hashem should turn his face towards us. And it's just interesting how the Chachamim, you know, from ages ago, how they had a insight into the psychology of people. This is not something new. And they describe how when a person, the general way of people is that when you're upset at somebody, you avert your eyes from them, you look down at the floor, you turn away from them, you don't want to see them. So he's saying Hashem is looking at you, so Hashem should not be averting his eyes from us. He should be pleased with us and not upset or disappointed or angry with us. And Hashem should bless us with peace, because really without peace, there's no other blessing in the world. It tells us the best kli, the best vessel for us as people and to contain all of the other blessings and wonderful things that we have is if there's peace. And we'll discuss that there means peace both, you know, globally, and it also means within our smaller units, our families, our friends, our communities, and then of course the most important peace is inner peace, to be able to be tranquil and healthy and happy with ourselves and to be at peace. Okay, so that is, I'd say, the nitty-gritties of the actual psukim. Obviously there's more, you know, but this is what we can only touch upon now. And I'm sure, like, you know, we spend days on it. We could probably spend more and more days on it, but we don't have that many days. So what we're going to do now is we're going to actually go to the second booklet. The second booklet has actually, well, I have a sticky note on it, but it is a photo, the cover page of it, I believe, is a copy of the art scroll that I got for the sitter. So, believe it or not, as organized as I was, that's not in order either. Okay. Do you have?
It's all right.
No, I have stuff. Somewhere.
Yes, it's all right. Yeah. Okay, I'll read with Jane.
Yeah? I know I have so many papers here.
Mm. No,
I must have more. Okay. Oh no. Oh, here. Is this it? Here, you can use it. This is Yeah, I think this is what I gave him to make copies, so it's single-sided.
Okay,
the same
thank
papers.
You.
And I'm going to also give you, this is a photo or a drawing. I didn't draw it. So if you take those, you have that one, and hopefully that's enough in that file. I'm not sure. Is that no, I think I'm short. Okay. If it helps, they're double-sided, you could each take one side. Because yours were from the original, so I went through to the photocopy. You have a picture? Okay, so basically the picture was everything was given in double-sided, so the picture came out double-sided as well. So if you get bored of one side, you could look at the other.
Could you show us the booklet that you're going to be looking
for? I think it's that one.
This one on top?
Yeah, it's art school. Okay. Yep, okay. Okay, so basically our picture here is a bird's eye viewing of, I guess, the architectural format of the Beis HaMikdash. So you're looking at it again from the top. They're labeled north, south, east, and west. So the west side is up on top, believe it or not, right? They have Ma'arav, west is up on top. And then that would be on the other side of that wall would be the Kotel HaMaravi. That would be like the western wall would be on the other side of that. And that would be Temple Mount right there where you see the, I guess, where the dome would be. So, but actually what you need to look for now is they're numbered. The only number that we really need to focus on right now is number 11. So number 11 is actually stairs. You see there's like three lines. Those are three stairs that separate two parts of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't have the picture in front of me, but I think it's the, it separates the Ezra's Kohanim, and that's number 13, Ezra's Yisrael and Ezra's Kohanim. So different areas where people would stand or different services or different events would happen. So those three stairs are called the Duchan. The Duchan are the stairs, and that is why we call Berakat Kohanim Duchaning.
Is there a root word for Duchan?
Duchan just means stairs.
Modern Hebrew too?
Madrigot would be stairs in modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
So that is where, that's why we refer to Berachas Kohanim as Duchaning, because they would go up to the stairs. They would rise on the stairs to say their blessings. So that's just so you have an image of where it's happening and just why, you know, in the vernacular, why we call it that. Okay, so if we are to look in a sitter, we would actually see Berachas Kohanim twice. We would actually be, saying it almost twice a day. How could that be? The most obvious place where we see Berachas Kohanim is in Shmona Esrei, in the Amidah. So that is then by the bracha of just before the bracha of Sim Shalom, Hashem should give peace, with the obvious connection of Shalom, peace, which is listed in the Berachas Kohanim. So if we had our sitter in front of us, we would see, and this is somebody alluded to, oh, she might have been here right now, but I'll have to say it again when she comes back in, that during the week, when we say this here in Chutz La'aretz, out of Israel, basically the Kohanim would read it. And that's why, like in this sitter, it's in a gray box because it's only set at certain times. There's the preview, there's the preamble, I would say. Elokeinu ve'elokei aboseinu, Hashem, you know, our God, the God of our fathers. Barchenu ba'bracha ha'mishuleshas, bless us with the threefold bracha, which we'll explain shortly. Ba'torah, from the Torah. Hakisuva al yedei Moshe avdecha, that was written by your servant Moshe. Ha'amura mipi Aaron ubanav, that is said from the mouth of Aaron and his children. Kohanim, the Kohanim, Am Kedoshecha, your holy nation. We're going to see that Am Kedoshecha is another term for Kohanim. Mm-hmm. Up until about Sunday, I think I thought Am Kedoshecha was referring to us. They're the Kohanim, and we're his holy nation, but no, it's the Kohanim are the Am Kedoshecha, the special unit of Hashem. Ka'amor, as it says, and then it says, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, and then it has the 3, 5, and 7 words of the Berachas Kohanim. But as somebody pointed out yesterday, when the Chazan says this in the Chazaras Hashatz, we don't say Amen, we say Kein Yehi Ratzon, so should it be, because this is just a reference to Berachas Kohanim. The Chazan is not actually saying Berachas Kohanim, he is referring to it, so we're saying so it should be, that as Hashem wills it, Hashem should bless us with that. When the Kohanim actually say it, on a Yom Tov, then we would say the word Amen. Okay, and we're also going to see that there was even a difference when the Kohanim would do this in the Beis HaMikdash, the response that the Jews would give over there, and they would actually bow straight down. They would fall flat down on their faces, and they would say the name of Hashem, because each verse there's the name of Hashem, and it was said in the way that it was supposed to be pronounced, and that is one of the reasons also why it's called Bracha HaMishul Shalash, because it created a threefold response. Three times the Jews had this amazing response to hearing the voices and the hearing the blessings. But also at the beginning of our Siddur, in our morning davening, we have Moda'ani, we have Matovu, Adon Olam, Yigdal, and then we get to Brachos. So we get to the morning Brachos, we have Al Netilas Yadayim, Asher Yatzar, and then if we go a teeny bit further, we actually have Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha Ya'ar Hashem. We have Berchas Kohanim over there. We have the words of Berchas Kohanim over there. So what I want to explain today is, I guess, the difference, or what we learned from both of them. Like, what we gain from Berchas Kohanim in the Shemona Esrei, and why we're saying Berchas Kohanim here in our morning tefillah every day, which is the words of Berchas Kohanim that we're saying, but it's not actually said by the Kohanim. Okay? So let's start with, I'm already up to here, so open up to here, so let's just start. If you look at Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, it comes right after the blessings of the Torah. In the Siddur, what you have in your booklet is the actual Berchas Kohanim. So we'll come back to that in a second. But in the Siddur for the morning brachos, the morning, the Shacharis Berchas Kohanim, we have Birchas HaTorah, which is Baruch Atah Hashem HaMalami Torah La'amo Yisrael. Hashem is the one who teaches the Torah to the Jewish people. And Baruch Atah Hashem Nosein HaTorah. Hashem is the one who gives us the Torah, followed by the verses of Birchas Kohanim, followed by Elu Devarim She'ein Lahem Shiur, followed by a second Elu Devarim She'adam Ochel Perosei Ba'olam Hazeh. And the reason for that being is that when we are making the brachos on the Torah, it's important that we do some Torah learning immediately after. They can't just make a bracha on something and then not do the mitzvah for it. So by saying these words that come from the Torah and come from the Gemara, we fulfill that part of a blessing that we do something to fulfill that mitzvah. So we make the blessing on the Torah and then we learn some Torah. It tells us, though, according to anything that's Siddur related that we're going to discuss today comes from Rav Schwab on prayer. It's actually also a very powerful book. It goes through the entire Shacharis, like word by word. It's beautiful. He pulls about every single word and all the lessons and the meanings throughout. Very beautiful book. So he actually says that really these words were supposed to be at a different point in the Siddur. Really, if we look after these brachos, we actually have a section which is called karbanos. And karbanos are recitations of words that are referring to the sacrifices that were brought daily in the Beis HaMikdash. And I don't know if they're said on a daily basis. Does every shul say them every day? I know our shul says them on Shabbos.
Yes, no. The question is whether you should say them at home before you
right.
go to
okay.
shul.
So there's, I don't know if everybody says it, like if all shuls say it in shul every day, or you say it before you come to shul, or I know that our shul says karbanos on Shabbos when there's more time and when people are pressed for time. It's not said in shul as a congregation. So there's like three paragraphs of karbanos here, which also are words that come from the Torah, come from the Gemara, which would have had the same effect. However, the problem is that because of people's davening schedules and people's morning schedules, Shacharis is often done early in the morning, and that would be too early to say the karbanos. So karbanos were given at a certain time of day, and because we're commemorating the services that were done at a certain time of day, they can only be said at a certain time of day. So if you're starting davening in the morning prior to the time that the karbanos would be allowed to be brought, you can't say those words. So the order has changed and evolved over the years as the Siddur developed. Okay? So now let's see what we have over here. Sorry. Back. covered that. Okay, another thing that we also have to mention, as I think we said before, is that there are, if we look at each, there's three psukim, three verses of Birchas Kohanim. If we count the number of words in each one, we have 3, 5, and 7, and that actually is where the custom of how many aliyos, how many people are called to the Torah, comes from. Because during the week, when the Torah is read on Mondays and Thursdays, we call up 3 people to the Torah. On Yom Tov, on holidays, they call up 5 people to the Torah, and on Shabbos, they call up 7 people to the Torah. That's in commemoration of these numbers, 3, 5, and 7. Okay? So now, I think we're actually ready to look at Birchas Kohanim. Believe it or not.
Sorry, could you repeat with the numbers 3, 5, and 7?
3, 5, and 7. So there's 3 words in the first verse, so that responds to 3 people that are called to the Torah during the week. 5 for Yom Tov and 7 for Shabbos. Okay? So now we can have our art scrolls here now. What I did, I whited out, not all of them, I missed a few. But what I tried to do was to white out the Yod Hey Vav Hey name of Hashem, so that we have less of an issue with recycling and how do we handle all of the papers. So if anyone is concerned about any of the papers, then I guess give them to me and I'll figure out what to do with them. Right? I think we've come to the conclusion that unless something is actual Seamus, actual name of Hashem, then we can put it into recycling as long as it's done in a respectable fashion. Like we wouldn't put it in the regular garbage, but we could put it now, you know. The city of Ottawa makes it so easy for us.
See?
All because of my survey. They didn't ask me how many bags of garbage I put out every week.
Do you know the answer?
So they can go with their space.
More than I would be allowed if they sold me tickets, that's for sure. So I'm not going to answer that question. Okay. So, here we go. Okay. Sorry, just trying to organize myself over here. We did this. We did that. I'm just trying to see because I jumped around a little bit. And we did this. We said that. We said this. We said about the Kohanim. We said about the 3 Bracha HaMishuleshes because there's 3 Psukim and there's a threefold response. And. Sorry. Okay. So now what we're going to see that. Okay. So some things which we're going to get to is. Someone asked about all the phrases that are said after each one. If you look about the... So we have the bracha. Okay, I'm rambling now. Let me start again. Okay, here we go. So we have... Let's look on the top of page 770. So we have Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, which we read before. We read it from the Siddur. This is what the Chazan says. This is what the Shaliach Tzibur, the person who is up at the Amma, the person who is leading the davening, he says this as an introduction to Birchas Kohanim. He calls up the Kohanim, he'll say that, and then we respond, Am Kedoshecha Ka'amor. So that's why I always thought that it referred to us, because you're the Kohanim and we're your holy nation. But we were actually just saluting them as being holy people. And it tells us that there's other parts in the Yom Kippur Machzor where it talks about the Kohanim as Am Kedoshecha. And then comes the Bracha. So, of course, there's a bracha, because we've already mentioned that it is a mitzvah from the Torah. It is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It is a biblical command. And therefore, when there's a biblical command, and even there are 7 mitzvos that are d'rabbanan, that were determined by the rabbis, when we do the mitzvah, there is a bracha that precedes it. So we're thanking Hashem for giving us the ability for asher kedushanu b'kedushaso shel Aaron, that honored us or gave us the holiness and sanctified us with the sanctity of Aaron, b'tzivanu levarech es amo Yisrael, and he commanded us to bless the Jewish people, b'ahava, with love. And that we're going to see is an important part. It wasn't just enough to say, Hashem gave us the command to bless the Jewish people. But it's b'ahava, with love. And we have the Kohanim, when they get up there, are supposed to feel within their hearts a love for the Jewish people and a desire towards the Jewish people. And it tells us that this actually comes from Aaron HaKohen, which is in our previous packet, but we won't do it from inside the packet. When it talks about Aaron blessing the Bnei Yisrael for the first time, when the Mishkan was completed, it tells us that he raised his hands and his was overflowing with love and he was overflowing with giving towards the Jewish people. And that would be symbolically, that would be the best way to bless the Jewish people. As well, we learn from Aaron HaKohen that when Moshe was speaking with Hashem at the bush, at the snef, the burning bush, and Hashem wanted to send Moshe to be the leader of the Jewish people, Moshe was afraid. Or he felt bad, rather. Not that he was scared afraid, but he felt bad because Aaron was his brother, but Aaron was older than him. And he felt bad that he, as the younger brother, should supersede his brother in honor or in responsibility or in a role. So he asked Hashem, you know what, why don't you send Aaron, send my brother. And so, you know, I'll pass on the honor. He deserves it. And Hashem said, no, really, it's going to be you. And don't worry, because vira'acha v'samach bilibo. When you meet him for the first time, coming back to announce your mission, he's going to see you and he's going to be happy in his heart. He doesn't just say he's going to see you and he'll be happy, because we could all put on a happy face. We could all smile and inside be grumbling and inside be feeling resentment or inside be feeling jealousy. And our outward look is not at all, at times, representative of what we're honestly thinking on the inside. But Hashem tells him, "Bara'acha v'samach b'libo." He will see you and he will be happy in his heart. It's going to be deep down. It's not just going to be a smile on his face or a lucky you, what about me? He's going to feel it really deeply. And that's the same way that the Kohanim should have that same love like Aaron had for Moshe, overflowing to give over to the Jewish people, to give them this blessing. And it actually talks about when it describes Aaron, when he did really meet Moshe, it describes that he met him with not an ounce of jealousy, with not an ounce of, I think I talked a little bit about this at the graduation, on some wavelength of this, not an ounce of jealousy, and that it was really like he met him like a person going to meet their teacher who they admire and they respect completely. And it tells us that Aaron was disappointed, because he said, had I known that the Torah was going to record my reaction and it would be listed for posterity, I would have pushed myself further to come out with drums and instruments and dancing to really show everybody how they should honor another person and not feel jealousy even at their sibling or somebody else that they might feel some resentment towards. And of course the commentaries there discuss, well, Aaron obviously did the best that he could, right? Aaron was on a very high level, and Aaron understands the relationship that Moshe has with Hashem, and he understood the importance of the mission. Surely he did the best that he could. And the commentaries explain, yes, he did the best that he could. And when it comes, though, to humans, our ability to tap into ourselves and to motivate ourselves and to be motivated is really bottomless. Like sometimes we feel like we've given it our utmost, but there are times when even if we've given it our utmost, we could have motivated ourselves, or there could have been something to motivate us, to strive us to go deeper and to go better. So Aaron said, if I would have known, I would have used that as an internal motivation to push myself and to strive myself even more. So now, did we learn the lesson? We did. The lesson, we learned it. It was accomplished without him even knowing. But he's saying, no, I could have done a better job at that so that you would really, really learn the lesson. So that's what we want to show, that the Kohanim have this endearing love for the Jewish people. And that is actually what we'll touch upon it again when we talk about, if we get to it, we talk about the topic of Kohanim and what's their role or how they became who they are, things like that.
So what I want to ask is, when you said they had that endearing love, I mean, did they realize that this is my role, so I have to love this nation and display my love? I mean, or was there a spirit born overflowing with? That's what I'm asking when you say.
Maybe it would depend on the person. Like some people might have to work at it more than others. Like some people might be more naturally inclined to be optimistic and happy, and some people have to work at it more. But okay. That was the command, that they were commanded to do it. So we know also that when we're commanded to do something, it means we can. Like we can say, well, how could Hashem command me to do something that I can't do? But he's commanding you to do something that you can. Maybe you feel like you can't do it right now, but it's something to work towards because it's in your ability to achieve.
Okay.
So now what we're going to see is that This is according to Rav Schwab, and he explains this based on other chazals that we haven't mentioned over here. He's going to go through three categories. Each bracha represents a different part of our relationship. It has a different role. So we're going to look now at the first one. He's bringing out different medrashim, different parts from the Gemara, where it talks about the roles of each part of the bracha. So Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, the first three words, is actually talking about our physical and material brachos. Okay, it's talking about our physical world. So I'm on page 530 right now. So it's Rav Schwab on page 530. Okay? So if we want, what we could even do is we could categorize them up at the top left column where it starts the little squares, like instead of bullets, they're squares. We could label that as category number one.
Where is this?
It's on page 530 in the second booklet. It's in the booklet with the art scroll.
Oh, is it?
Supposed to be. It's double-sided, so I'm not sure where it comes exactly. So there's 528, there's 529, which we've already discussed, so we're officially up to 530. That would be part one. Okay, so we're going to discuss now, according to the Medrash, different things that are Yivarechecha, that are Baruch, that are blessings, that the ways that Hashem should bless us in our physical sense of the world. Probably should be after that, coming up. No, the other way, I think. I think the other way. No? Getting there? It's 5:30. And it has Rav Schwab on prayer on the
bottom. Yeah, it's not the same number.
Here, 5:30. Yes, it's 5:30. There we go. Okay, so here we have.
Thank
you. No problem. So we have Yivarechecha Bivanim. Hashem should bless you with banim, children, and it also includes daughters, who the Medrash tells us need special protection. I have six daughters, so I guess it's true. Okay, ba'osher, with wealth and its retention. And we've also discussed before how when you have wealth, it sometimes can deter you from doing what's right or leading to be busy with other things. And also when one has a lot of wealth, they also need special protection against thieves. Baguf, with your body. Hashem should bless you with a healthy body. We all know the benefits of health and medical well-being. And really, you know, I guess if it's a choice between wealth and health, we probably all pick health. Sheyu hakol misbarchim becha, that everyone should be blessed through you. You will bear these blessings without arrogance, and therefore people will love and adore you and would consider themselves blessed to be like you. They would want to be like you. Bezikna, with old age, protection from dangers and mazikim, any harm which is around us, to live to an old age. Vishmar raglecha migehenem, a person should be guarded from gehenem, which is translated as hell, which is a place where people are punished for the things that they've done. I don't want to get into that now, but I don't think it's in the way that... it's a whole other discussion, but I don't think gehenem is not used in the way that it's referred to, I think, in the secular world about gehenem and hell and all kinds of... I mean, it's not a pleasant place to be, but it's a good place to be in terms of getting
it's
the person... It's a
stage,
that's right. It's a good place for a person to be in terms of cleansing them to be able to get rewards. I'm not so clear on that, but that much as I do know. Shelo yisalech shechina so mimcha, that Hashem should not take his shechina, his presence, away from you. Often if a person lives a good life of health and wealth and success, sometimes they might neglect their spiritual life and lose out on his zechuyos, which in touch loses his connection between him and Hashem. We have now in paragraph 2, Ya'er Hashem Panav Eilecha, that would be our second set, which would be our spiritual life. So we've had things in the physical world that we want to get in our blessings, and now we have the spiritual world. And Ya'amid Mimcha Banim B'nei Torah, Hashem should bless us with having children who are strong and their love of Hashem and in love of the Torah. V'ya'er Einecha V'libcha B'Torah, Hashem should illuminate our eyes and heart by giving us insights in the Torah. We should learn Torah and understand the Torah. Sheyavit b'cha p'panim mi'iros b'lo b'panim ze'umos. Hashem should look at you with a friendly face and not with an angry face. And again, that's, you know, some of these things are repetitious, but we're just looking at it from a new light. Bichuneka. Bichuneka is in that same sentence. So it's also, we said that it's a hard word to explain. It could be a gift, matnaschina, which we talked about Moshe, not relying on getting something just because, but rather through his own merit. We said chen is also like an inner beauty that's reflected towards the outside of the person. So here are some things. Yachaneh Hashem etzlecha. So yachaneh means to camp. Like chonim is to camp. You talk about vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar, and the Jewish people camped by Har Sinai, so camping would be to live. So may Hashem dwell with you. Yachancha b'mish alosecha. Hashem should grace you in granting your wishes. Sheyishma tefilascha. Hashem should hear your prayers. Yitain chincha be'enei habrios. Hashem should cause you to find favor and be well-liked in people. And it's interesting, that's actually one of the things that we say when we say tefilas haderach, when we say the traveler's prayer, we also pray that one of the things is that we should find favor in people along our journey. And, you know, as people who have crossed the border numerous times, we always pray, please, just let me through. You know, like they'll look at me like, any firearms? No.
I know.
You know, wine? No. Liquor? No. You know, like,
citrus
please
fruit.
Just let me through. Citrus fruit, yes, they actually confiscated. I didn't realize I had brought the clementines, you know, the Maroc clementines in the car with us, like, to eat along the way. And, like, any citrus fruit, I'm like, I have some clementines for our lunch. Like, those were $5, you know. So he took our clementines. We all debated after, like, we wanted to see if he was eating it in his little booth over there, or if he actually did something with it. I don't know. And then, of course, there's the time we were pulled over at the border. And, you know, I'm saying we're only an hour and a half from the border. So it's really not that far. We don't stop an hour and a half into our journey. So we get to the border, and the kids, I don't remember what time we left or what had been going on, but most of the kids had already fallen asleep. And if the kids are sleeping, our rule is you don't stop no matter what. No bathroom break, no food break, nothing. The kids are sleeping, you keep on going. So we get to the border, and he calls us in. He gives us one of those yellow tickets. He says, pull over on the side. You all have to come out.
Oh.
And we say, why? He goes, speak to them inside. And I'm like, okay, that's it. Our trip is totally ruined now. You wake up sleeping kids, they're all going to be cuckoo and forget it. And we're only an hour and a half in. Like, if we're going down to New York, it's like 8 hours. Come on, that's just not right. So we all get out. We all pile in. And he goes, why are you here? We go, we don't know. So, of course, you're not supposed to be nasty or smart aleck or anything like that. We're like, oh, we don't really know, but they told us to come in, so we're here. He goes back out to speak to the clerk. Apparently, he wanted to make sure that all of my children were in the appropriate child restraint seats because there was a doll on the floor and they thought it was a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
So we all had to go back to the car and everyone had to go into their seat and he had to check that each person had a seatbelt, a car seat, or a booster seat, depending on how old they were. There was a doll on the floor. I was like, you think I buckled everybody in. Everyone had a seat. I'm going to leave one kid on the floor? Like, what does that mean? I don't care about that kid. I care about the rest of them. Like, can you not tell the difference between, like, a living thing and a doll? Mm. So, yeah. May they find favor in us. Please don't pull us over. My kids are sleeping. Let them sleep. See, there's only an hour and a half away from home, or it's like, okay, we have an hour and a half to get home. We have to get there. You know, don't pull us in. B'da'as u'b'chachma u'v'haskel u'musar u'bina. With da'as and chachma, different levels of knowledge. Da'as b'talmud Torah, understanding for learning Torah. And yitain b'chem da'as shetuhu mechoninim ze'eseh u'mirachamim ze'eseh. That Hashem should give us understanding and compassion for each other. That we should be able to tolerate others. And that could be a special line, right, about working towards having that ahava for other people. That's section two. Section three, coming up next, is about our personal matters between us and Hashem, specifically between us and Hashem, not only in the spiritual sense generally. So what do we have? Yitain lecha nesiyas panim. Hashem should give us individual attention, right? We all like individual attention. Mm-hmm. It was actually something that you know, we know we're supposed to spend time with our kids and give kids individual attention. So I don't remember which one of my children it was that was still home at the time. So I really felt that that child was getting lots of individual attention because the other kids were at school. It was me and this child. I went to work a couple hours in the morning, pick up the child from the babysitter, and then we spent the rest of the afternoon together, coming on the errands, cooking supper, you know, doing the things that we do. And then I went to take out one of the kids as a special treat, just mommy time, and this kid said, "But I never go anywhere with just you." And I was like, "Go everywhere every day with me. I'm never by myself." What does that mean? And then it just like struck me that like, you know that a kid can never have too much attention and you think you're spending time with your kid. But that kid, I said, "Okay, well, you'll get a turn too." But like it just didn't, I wouldn't have thought that the kid would have picked up on this child is going out special with mommy when you're out special with mommy every single day. Right? You have from like 12 to 4 all by yourself with mommy every day until the kids get home. So Hashem should give us special individual attention. Ya'avir ka'aso mimcha v'yahafoch panav eslecha. Hashem should remove his anger from you and turn his face towards you. B'sha'a sh'ata omein mispalel, during our davening time we refer to. Yachriya lecha lekapsechus. Every person has our balance of positive and negatives, so Hashem should always judge us favorably and weigh out our positives over our negatives. And Hashem should give us peace both here, globally, internally, and all of the rest of that. Okay, so this is, we're going to need to refer to these again, because these are the, it's an interlinear, it's the translation of all the verses, which I don't think we need to do right now, and it will have those paragraphs and those phrases that we mentioned the other day. If you see that each word of Birchas Kohanim, that's in big and in bold, has a sentence, it has a pasuk, it has a verse with the same word in it, or the same root of the word in it that corresponds to the word that the chazan is saying and the kohanim are repeating after him. Just to make it very brief, we'll get to it in full. While the kohanim are speaking and saying the words, we shouldn't be saying anything. We should not be talking while they're talking. We should only be listening. It is only during the time when they're singing and they're having the melody that we could say any of these phrases, and we'll get to that a little bit after.
I forgot. Does the person leading the service says the phrase and they repeat it, or they're just in charge and they say phrase after phrase after phrase?
It's word after word.
Okay, so the person who is leading the mm-hmm. service says the word and they repeat
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and while we're listening, and we'll get to that soon. We'll discuss the concept of that also. Okay, so now we can go to, save this, because we're going to come back to it. We can go to our third booklet.
What is
the third booklet? The third booklet is what I'm referring to as Mitzvah and Halacha. So it starts off with Bircha, it says Sefer HaChinuch on top, and it is, it has a little circle, I think. Shin Ayin Ches. Mitzvahs Birkas Kohanim B'chol Yom. It's my cover page. I don't know if it's your cover page. No?
It's all Hebrew, right?
Yeah, it's all Hebrew. And there's a circle. Like in the right, there's two columns, and on the right column, there's a new paragraph.
Parshas
Neso on top. And I circled, I put like a little circle, like a little bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Shin Ayin Ches in Gematria is 378. So of the 613 mitzvos, we are doing 378. Basically, the Sefer HaChinuch was a book that was written anonymously. We don't really know for sure who wrote the book, but what is known about the book is that it was written by a rabbi in commemoration of his son's bar mitzvah. Because his son was going to become 13 and be responsible for all the mitzvos, he wanted his son to understand what the mitzvos were and what they refer to and how they are kept and the rationale behind them. So he goes according to the Rambam's explanation of the 613 mitzvos, because they're not, all the mitzvos are contained within the Torah, and I think that there might be slightly different difference of opinions as to what the list of the full 613 are. So generally, we follow the Rambam, and that is what the Sefer HaChinuch follows. So that's what's typically gone by. Sefer HaChinuch can also just be called as V'Chinuch. You know, in short, like people refer to it as that. If we look at our page, we're going to see, and then here's an example where I would have used a smart board again. For every mitzvah that is listed, it goes according to the parsha. So you could take out the beginning of the Sefer HaChinuch, you would look at the book, and at the index it will say Parshas Bereishis, and it will say Aleph for one, and whatever mitzvah was in that parsha. Noah, Lech Lecha, Vayera. And of course there are some parshas that are more story, more thematic, so they won't have necessarily a mitzvah in there, but it will just go, it will go through all the parshios in order of the parshios, in order of which ones have a mitzvah, and it will count them down and give it a title. So our title is Mitzvah Berkas Kohanim B'chol Yom, the mitzvah of the Kohanim to bless the Jewish people every day. And we mentioned that out of Israel, it's not done every day, but in Eretz Yisrael it is. The format of Sefer HaChinuch is generally four paragraphs. So this is where a smart board would come in, or highlighters would come in. Actually, when I've done Sefer HaChinuch with other classes of mine, I will actually have my students take out four highlighters and highlight in a different color each paragraph. So the first paragraph is the mitzvah. It tells us what is the mitzvah in very brief, like an overview. The second paragraph is Misharshei HaMitzvah. Shoresh means the root of the mitzvah. Where does this mitzvah come from? What is the basis for this mitzvah? Third paragraph is Midinei HaMitzvah, the din, the halachos, the laws of the mitzvah. How is this mitzvah kept? How do we fulfill that mitzvah? And noheges means how it's acted upon. Like there might, how, what is the minhag? What is the custom? What do we do in real life? How is it actually fulfilled? What do we do about it? So let's try to separate these two columns, our Shin Ayin Ches, into our four paragraphs. So if you see, the very first word is shenitztavu. Shenitztavu means they were commanded. That's our mitzvah paragraph. You see that?
Could you show it on the page?
Yeah, underneath the bullet. Uh-huh. You have this page? It says Parshas Naso on top.
Right.
So you see the bullet?
Yes.
So that's the title, that's the category, that's the number and the name of the mitzvah. And then the very first word in the next paragraph says Shenitztavu. So that word, we can actually put a bullet over there. That would be paragraph one. If you look down, and it's hard to see sometimes, but there's a bit of an indent to find paragraph two, and that would say Misharshei HaMitzvah, the root of the mitzvah. That's another bullet. We travel down.
That was my fault for looking at
the front. No, I have so many papers here. I can't imagine. I only have one. Okay, and then the third paragraph, if we travel down, Midinei HaMitzvah. We could put another bullet over there. That's the law of the mitzvah. It continues to the next column. And then the final paragraph, indented, no heges, the minhag. What is the custom? How do we actually keep it, or what do we do about it? It's actually the second paragraph, it looks like. Easily on the second column. Okay, so let's go through that now. Let's take it section by section. Shenitztavu ha-kohanim sheyivarchu Yisrael b'chol yom. The Kohanim were commanded that they must bless the Jewish people every day. Shene'emar, as it says, ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael, so shall you bless the Jewish people, amar lahem. You should say to them. So it always gives you what we call a makar, a source. Like, we're not just going to take it out of value. Oh, yeah, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Well, if there's a mitzvah in the Torah, prove it to me. Tell me where in the Torah it says it. What words mean that there is a mitzvah? What words mean that I'm supposed to do something? So here it is. These are the words. Here's the mitzvah. Paragraph 2. Misharshei HaMitzvah. The root of the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah for? What's the goal of this mitzvah? What's the purpose? Shechafez Hashem b'tuvo hagadol livareich amo. Hashem, in his great desire and his greatness, really wants to bless his people. Al yedei hamisharsim, by those people who are serving him, hachonim tamid beveis Hashem, by those people who serve him and are camping always in the house of Hashem. And that's poetic for the Kohanim. The people who are closest to Hashem, they live in the house of Hashem, so to speak. They're involved in the Beis HaMikdash, they're involved in the Mishkan on a constant basis. V'chol machashavtam, and all of their thoughts, d'veika ba'avadaso, they're constantly glued and thinking about and attached to the service of Hashem. B'nafsham kishura b'yiraso kol hayom. And their nefesh, their soul, is tied to him all day long. They're thinking about Hashem. They're thinking about their fear of Hashem and how best to serve him. Oh, this is referring to the Kohanim, of course. Ubizchusam, and in their merit, tachul habracha aleihem. In the merit of the Kohanim, bracha shall befall and bracha shall come through them. V'yisparchu kol ma'aseihem, and all of their actions shall be blessed. V'hi noam Hashem aleihem, which we could recognize from davening, that actually comes from Tehillim, that Hashem's presence, the pleasantness of Hashem should rest upon them. V'al tisma leimar, don't be surprised, don't be confused, and ask, v'lu chafetz Hashem v'vir chasam, yitzav itam es habracha, v'ein tzorech v'vir chas kohanim? Well, you don't need to ask this question, which we're asking anyway. If Hashem wants to bless them, and Hashem wants to give them blessing, so why doesn't he just bless them himself? Why does he need to command somebody else to bless them? And some of this we might have touched upon in other areas, but I like to see it in each of its formats, in each of its units, even if we've touched upon it, so we know where it's coming from. Ve'ein tzorech bevirchas kohanim. We don't need the kohanim. Ki kvar higdamti lecha pa'amim rabos. Because I've already taught you so many times, ki bekoach hechsher ma'aseinu tachol habracha aleinu, that depending on how good and the power of the goodness of our deeds, that's how great is the power of the blessing that comes upon us. Depending on how good I am and how deserving I am of bracha, then I'll get bracha. If I'm good, I'll get more blessing. If I'm even better, I'll get even more. So what do I need the Kohanim for? Why? Ki yado baruchu. Because the hand of the Almighty, pistucha l'chol sho'el, Hashem's hand is open to all who ask of him. B'hiyoso mukshar u'muchan l'kabalas hatov. Hashem wants to give. Hashem has an outstretched arm. And as long as somebody is turning to him and is ready to accept him and to turn towards him, Hashem wants to give to him. V'al kein ki bachar banu mikol ha'amin. And therefore Hashem chose us as his nation. V'ratzashen is kebetuvo, because Hashem wanted us to be meriting to get goodness from him. Hizaharnu v'tzivanu lahachin ma'aseinu. Hashem is warning us and commanding us and advising us to prepare our deeds. Ulahachshir gufeinu b'mitzvosav. And to kosher our bodies and to perfect our bodies by doing his mitzvos. Liyosenu re'uyim al hatov, so that we could be worthy of all the good that Hashem wants to give us. Hashem is good. Hashem is benevolent. Hashem is kind. Hashem wants to give us good. That's all Hashem wants to do, is to give us good and shower us and give and give and give. I guess we could think about it like, you know, a spoiling grandparent. Hashem wants to give us stuff. He wants to throw it our way, but we have to be deserving of it. Gam tzivanu b'tuvo ha'gadol livakesh mimenu ha'bracha. Hashem even taught us that we should ask him for good things, for blessings. V'shenish alosa ayedei ha'misharsim ha'torim. And we can ask those who serve him for good things through Hashem. Ki kol zeh yezachus l'nafshenu, because all of this will be a zachus, it will be a merit for us. U'mitochach, and by doing this, nizkeh b'tuvo, we will merit it. And that's why we also have it in Pirkei Avos, we have it in other places in davening. It says, Hashem chafetz leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. Hashem wants us to do good. Therefore, Hashem gave us the mitzvos so that we should become close to him. Hashem wants to give. Hashem wants to do good. Hashem wants us to earn it. So he tells us how. He tells us what we need to do so we could earn it. So it's not that if we need a bracha, the Kohanim have to give it because Hashem can't. Hashem, of course, he could. He could. But he wants us to be able to earn it. So he's telling us, what do we have to do to earn it so that he can give it to us? Midinei ha-mitzvah, the laws of the mitzvah. How do we fulfill this? How does the Kohen do this? What's the Kohen's role? What is the congregant's role? Masha Amru Zichronam Livracha, what our sages, whose memory shall be a blessing, have said. She'ein ha-kohanim nosim kapehem ela be'asara. Kohanim only do duchening, like we used that word before. They only do birchas kohanim in the presence of ten. Ten, a minion. V'ha-kohanim min ha-minion. What happens, I think someone asked this question the other day, what happens if you have ten people, and some of them are kohanim? So what does it say? V'ketzad hi nesias kapayim. How do you do birchas kohanim? B'sha'a she'yagia shaliach tzibor la'avoda. When the shaliach tzibor is davening, and he's doing the repetition, and he gets to avoda, which is over here by Ritzei, and he's by Modim, what happens? What's my place? She'yirtzei lehaschil bevirkas Ritzei. He wants to say that blessing of Ritzei, which is about two blessings before Birkas Kohanim, before the blessing of Shalom of Peace. Kol ha-kohanim omdim beveis ha-kneses. All of the kohanim who are present in the shul that day, olin la-duchan. They go up to the platform. Upenehem lemul ha-heichal. And they are facing the Aron Kodesh. So they're not facing the congregants. They get up, they go up onto the platform, and they face the Aron Kodesh. Va'achoreihem klapei ha'am. Their backs are facing the people. So we're all facing the same way, right? We're all facing Mizrach, we're all facing the Aron Kodesh. We're all looking this way, and the Kohanim are looking the same way as us. Va'etzbe'oseihem kifufos al-kapeihem. Their fingers are gloved, are closed, that's a kifafayim are gloves, their fingers are closed in their palms, ad she'yashlim shaliach tzibor birchas hoda, until the shaliach tzibor, until the chazan does modim, ve'achar kach, only after modim, machazirin pineihem klapei ha'am, that's when they turn around. So now they're facing us. We're facing each other now. Uposhin esvoseihem umagbihin yedehem kenega ketefehem. And that's when they spread out their fingers in the pose that the fingers are supposed to be in, and they raise their hands to their shoulder level. And there's actually, we'll get to it, we also have that depending on if the Kohanim were in the Beis HaMikdash or not in the Beis HaMikdash, how high they raise their hands. Usually to their shoulders. The Kohen Gadol was never able to raise his hands higher than the tzitz, higher than the headband that the forehead band, because that was the name of Hashem. He wasn't allowed to raise his hands higher than that. And so they're now facing us. Their hands are outstretched, and we know that's actually a symbol of a Kohen. Many people who are trying to trace their ancestry will go, and they'll go to a cemetery and to look at the matseva, at the monument of a person who passed away, and that sometimes gives them an insight as to if they are a Kohen or a Levi or a Yisrael. And I don't remember the whole story, but I remember, was it Rabbi Berger, I think, who found out later that he was a Levi, right? Yeah, so I don't remember the whole story. What? It would say Levi. Kohen and Levi has that distinction.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you would. Now, it wouldn't have the picture, but they would say, it would say Levi there. And I don't remember the whole story how they found that out also, but I think it had to do something with the monument on a cemetery.
So what symbol is on the stone?
Of the Kohen, the picture of the outstretched fingers, of the way that the Kohanim hold their fingers when they bless the people. Okay? And umaschilim yivarechacha. So they're standing there, they're facing the people, and they start with the word yivarechacha. Or they're up to the word yivarechacha.
But does he answer the question of if they're Kohanim in the minyan?
They go up. They could bless the people.
It does,
it's fine. As long as there's 10 people, they could be counted as the ones who are included. That's fine.
You need, like, say there were 10 Kohanim, and that was the whole thing. You need someone that's actually the other
end. Who's going to receive, on the receiving end.
Yeah. You ask a theoretical question, but I think that we will get to it. It sounds familiar. I don't want to say offhand, because I know that I've touched upon it. It's somewhere in my piles, and I hope to get to it. But write it down.
It's in your pile.
It's in my pile. We have to get to it. I think we're going to be moving in for the month. Okay, here we go. B'shaliach tzibor, mikra osan, mila mila. So the chazan, the shaliach tzibor, whoever's leading the services, he says it word by word. Why? Shene emar, because the pasuk says, emar lahem. You should say to them, v'heim onin acharav b'kol na'eh. And they say it nicely in a beautiful voice, they repeat after him, Yevarech Echa, and there's like that sing-song. Kishem Mashlimim Pasuk Rishon, when they finish that first pasuk, which we said had three words, Kol Ha'am Onin Amen, we say, the congregants say Amen, which we compared to when it's not Berchas Kohanim time, where we said Kein Hiratzon, because this is actual Berchas Kohanim now. V'chein B'pasuk Sheni Ushlishi, repeat same thing as above, you know, rinse and repeat, do the same thing for pasuk 2 and pasuk 3. U'kishayashlimu Hashlosha P'sukim, when they finish all three psukim, maschil shaliach tzibor b'sim shalom. The shaliach tzibor is up to now the bracha of shalom, the bracha of peace, and he starts it. V'gomer, he completes it. Hakohanim machzirin peneim klape hakodesh. So when we're up to sim shalom and the berachas kohanim is over, the kohanim will turn again to face Aron Kodesh, so they're not facing us anymore. V'kofsin etzbosehen v'omdim sham baduchan. So they stand there, facing the same direction as us now, and it's only once the bracha of shalom is complete that they could go back to their seat. And we'll actually see soon that there's actually a direction, that when the kohanim turn to face us, and when they turn away from us, which direction they should turn in. There's even a law about that, and what they do to prepare themselves to get up to that platform. Umin hagenu hayom, and our custom today is shahakohanim einon olin laduchan ela omdin lifnei ha'aron ba'osin kaseda shekasavnu. So the custom today is that there are not necessarily steps in every shul like there were in the Beis Hamikdash. So they stand in front of the aron and they do whatever we just said in front of the aron kodesh, which is how we described it. V'kodem shayachziru peneim livarei ha'am, before they turn their faces to face the people to bless us, mivarchim, so it's going back a little bit, a step, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kidushanu b'kedushaso shel'aron v'tzivanu lebarech Hashem o Yisrael b'ahava. They say the bracha before they turn. V'chol pino sheyu ponim kigon chazaras peneihem latzibur o lahichel yihyu la'olam derech yamin. So here we have it, that any time they turn in the right direction. So the right direction is clockwise. So they always turn to right. V'shisha devarim mon'in min hakohen nesias kapayim, and there are six reasons why a person might be disqualified from being able to do berachas kohanim. Ha'lashon, ha'mumin, ha'aveira, tomas yadayim, shanim, and hayayim. So if a person has something wrong with their speech, if a person has a certain defect, if a person has performed a certain aveira, if a person's hands were impure, if they're too old, or if they're drunk. Obey yours for Amela, right? Because we talked about it before, why it's done in the morning.
Yeah. How do you determine too old?
Yes, yeah, so that it interests us. Yeah.
I don't know.
Very old.
Yeah.
For many years.
I guess if they're.
If
they can't walk, or if they can't speak properly, or if their mind is feeble and they don't know what they're saying.
It's not an age thing.
I don't think it's an age. I think it's aged, you know? Maybe, you know? I don't think there's not a number that's given. Okay, you turn 65 and you have to retire, kind of thing.
Do they have Kohanim here in Hillelot? So that would be determined. But besides the resident,
right?
The resident, I'm sure.
There must be.
To Dukhan? Can you Dukhan in Russia?
That's a good question. It says you have to stand, so I'm not sure. That would be a defect then, mm-hmm. right? Because that would have to be standing. Mm-hmm. So if they could get them to stand long enough, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like if they're immobile, then no. Mm-hmm. And we're actually in one of your packets. There's actually an interesting discussion. It's a theoretical, could happen in real life discussion on what if a person has a defect on their hands, mm-hmm. like is that considered a defect? Are they allowed to duchen? Because people are looking at them and they'll see their hands and they'll be, you know, weirded out or something like that. So you're not supposed to look. We'll get that. But if you see, like when they first get up there and they see their hands, so there's actually the explanation is that if a person has something wrong with their hands or with their feet, because they're in their socks, they're not in the shoes, they have something wrong with their feet, and will cause people to either stare at them or be distracted or repulsed by it, then they shouldn't go up to do Berachas Kohanim. But if a person already, like, they're known in their community and everyone's already seen them and they're already accepted for who they are, and it doesn't, like, and you don't, you know, what is they like, you see past it, then they can do Berachas Kohanim.
So some men wear wedding bands. Does that have to come off?
I don't think so. I don't know, I could look into that, but I didn't see anything about jewelry or anything like that. The only time that I know that we take off our jewelry, like we take off our fingers to wash our hands,
and
right?
And their hands are being washed.
Right, so it could be they take it off then. I just said we take off our fingers. No one caught that. That means we better finish up. Okay, and then it says, yes, there pratei ha-mitzvah. If you want more details of the mitzvah, hakol mivo'ar b'perek acharon b'megillah v'tanis. You can look it up. It tells you where. If you want more details. Okay, v'noheges. How do we do it today? Minhag in b'cho. When does this apply? B'chol makom, in every place, in every country. B'chol zman, every time, you know, whatever the year is. Ba'kohanim, it's a mitzvah for the kohanim. Ki aleihem mitzvah zu levarech es Yisrael. They have the special opportunity, the special mitzvah to bless the Jews. Uve shacharis, uve musaf, uve ne'ila, chayavin levarchim. So it comes at shacharis time, musaf time, and by ne'ila of Yom Kippur. Aval b'mincha shel kol yom, mincha every day, ein sham nesias kapayim. Every day, there's no berchas kohanim in the afternoon. Mepteisha b'mincha kvar sa'adu kol adam, because by the afternoon, people have already had a meal. V'yesham chashash yayin, and it's possible that they might have had wine. B'shikar asur b'nesias kapayim, and a person who is drunk may not bless. Afilu b'mincha tanis. So even, let's say it's a fast day, you say, well, it's a fast day, they're not eating, they're not drinking, they couldn't have had wine, let them say it. No, that's a gezerah. Like, we don't make an exception to the rule. The rule is, not in the afternoon, so we don't make an exception to that rule. Mishum mincha shel kol yom, because every day we don't do it, so we don't do that. And it says, the psak of Rabbi Nachman, and where in the Gemara it says that. And then, it's also explaining... Then it comes Aramaic because it's quoting from the Gemara about why we don't say Birchas Kohanim in the afternoon. Okay? So this is the mitzvah. What we are going to see now, I don't think we have time, but what we'll continue with in our booklet is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is, Kitzur means katzar, means short or abbreviated. So what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch did was to abbreviate and elucidate in point form, or a shortened, easy, like a manual of what we do in our daily life. Like, it starts with what we do when we wake up in the morning, how we daven, how we wash our hands, how we bench, when we say Berachat HaMazon, and it goes through, and it goes in order of our day, and it goes in order of the week and the year, and you know, how you burn the chametz, how you light the candles on Hanukkah, and it's like a manual, a condensed manual of how each mitzvah is performed. So what we're going to see next time, so this is halacha, which applies where this is more of a concept of where the mitzvah came from and why and who it applies to. This would be more comprehensive as to how the Kohanim do it and what we do as the people who are hearing it, how we respond or how we should not respond. And we'll get to that as well.
How we receive the bracha.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just going back to you were saying that you thought that Am Yisrael Shechem referred to us, and then you realized that it referred to the Kohanim, but we are known as the Mamlechus.
That's why I thought so.
Right, so so I was thinking, like, it kind of ties in nicely because, you know, we're the Jewish people, and then we have this special class of people who are the Kohanim. And then, but we are known as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation with respect to the rest of the world. So if you take the rest of the world, we're like the Kohanim for the rest of the world. So I'm wondering if what it was saying about overflowing with love so that the blessing will come out, that maybe that sort of should be how we feel in our attitude towards the non-Jews, that we should be overflowing with love for them so that our blessing, because it says, you know, those who bless you will be blessed through you,
right.
So that we should like feel that blessing.
Like the similarity, like the... Could be. Like I'm saying, whatever I'm saying, what you learn in one area, how it could be applied to another, or how we're referenced in one place. If we're referenced like this, and that's what they do, then that's what we should do as well. Sounds nice. Sounds nice. We could check it out. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And we're making our way.
So is there any discussion about whether we can all receive the blessing, right? Good or bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Oh, no, no, I don't know that.
I know you're good. I forget everything.
I'm trying to think of a word for cute food. Maybe intriguing or
maybe. I don't like the word cutesy either, but I can't think of another one.
I know you don't like it.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to say it, probably. That's better. You want it that way.
So the washrooms are...
They're all over the place. There's one in the hall, and there's one off the dining room, and there's one on the other side, near the buffet, or the cafe.
That's a good part.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Do you teach at Algonquin or Carlton or
no?
No, just the Jewish Institute.
Yeah,
yes.
Last morning is coming here.
I've done a lot for Jet. I teach at Torah Academy. I do. I have other classes. I started last year like an adult education class in my home. You want? You could give me your email address if you have one.
Yes.
And then I haven't really decided when I'm able to start up again, but when I do, I could let you know.
Yes, I love learning with women.
Yes, that's the goal.
No, I ended up coming up to Charlotte, but I got a reservation. Yeah, you just go right back.